I have a future reference. That's not a pre-sermon song. My goodness. Oh, well, I'm glad that you are here today. Today we are going to look at how God can possibly call us out of our own busyness, out of our own worry and concern for self, out of our own troubles, hassles, and problems, and have room in our hearts for those around us. So let's go to our Father in prayer as we attempt this monumental task to get us outside of us. And let us all learn better to be servants, just like Jesus. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, our hearts are stirring within our chests because you have called us. You called us out of death and sin to believe the good news that Jesus died for us. You called us away from the ways of this world, from evil and wickedness, from out of darkness, and you called us into your glorious light that shall never fade and does not change or cast a different shadow. Father, you call us to faith, to live our lives born again, just as Jesus lived. And we pray that you fill us with your Spirit so that we may live more like him. And Father, you call us to trust and believe that you will send your Son to redeem us from this world, to be with you forever. Father, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for our hope. We pray today, Lord, that your word is so powerful that it sticks with us all week long. We pray, Lord, that we will not forget who we are, but that we look at our true mirror, your Holy Scriptures. Father, give us eyes that see. Give us ears that hear. May you be glorified in all our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 26. You know, sometimes life can just be a lot, can it? And has it been 2 years? As much as the pandemic got all of us concerned about our own safety and our own well-being, since then, the enemy has done a great job in keeping us discombobulated. That is, things moving and changing so quickly that it's hard to catch your breath and it's hard to feel your footing. Just when you think you have your head wrapped around the new issue or the new problem or something else. And just when you figure out, okay, how do we deal living our lives according to this standard or according to this reality, something else comes up. And I honestly believe the enemy is using this with a decent amount of success against God's children. In that, for fear of our own safety and fear of others, that we have been kept insular, that we don't reach out as much, that as long as our household and our family is healthy and safe, then that's what matters. And this morning, I want us to take a clear view of Jesus, because Jesus, in all his ministry, he wasn't serving others in a vacuum, was he? He wasn't loving and forgiving and healing and feeding and teaching when everything around him was perfect and all the circumstances and all the surrounding issues were taken care of. No, Jesus ministered through the storm. Jesus ministered through the pain. Jesus ministered through the frustration. And in Matthew chapter 26, let's go down to verse 47. Matthew 26, 47 reads, "While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, 'The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him.' And he came up to Jesus at once and said, 'Greetings, Rabbi.' And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, 'Friend, do what you came to do.' Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, 'Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword.' Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, 'Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled.' Then all the disciples left him and fled." Everything that's going on around Jesus at this time, he says, this is the fulfillment of what God has sent me to do. And he didn't fight. They come at him in the night. He's betrayed by one of his own. His other followers want to fight for him. Now we know that in just, you know, a few minutes or a few hours later, they'll abandon him too. And Jesus says, in all this stress, "I've been with you all along. I'm not going to do things differently now." That it doesn't matter what circumstances are going on around Jesus, that Jesus is going to be faithful to the Father no matter what. And, oh, Matthew left it out, but Luke lets us know what Jesus did for this servant. He's held on to by the guards, the big, beefy guys whose job it was to enforce religious rules. And he gets out of their grasp and he puts that ear back on. He makes the servant whole in the midst of his own troubles. That is Jesus. That is Jesus. Now, we can look at, in fact, Tony helped us see this morning, Jesus on the cross had enough love while being crucified to say, "Father, forgive them for what they have done." But here in the garden, while it is just chaos, I mean, there is a fight. He's been seized. His own followers are drawing their swords. They're striking out, but probably, you know, they probably weren't too practiced with their swords play. And they catch an ear. of a servant. And Jesus puts it back on. And he said, put your sword away. That's not how this is going to go down. Church, in the example and footsteps of Jesus, you and I are called to live like that. You and I are called to have such faith. Do you not think that I could call down the angels to fight this battle for me? Do you not think that I could stop you from doing evil? But amazingly, in his time coming to earth the first time, Jesus was going to stop the power of evil through the sacrifice of himself. Not in a physical war or battle, but he had to take care of the spiritual weapons that the enemy uses against his followers. And so he does. He disarms Satan by dying for our sins. He takes away what Satan would use against us, leaving him powerless so that you and I can be free. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul writes to the church and he says, look, this is not only what you were called to do, but this is how you do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Verse 5, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort also. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. In verse 4, Paul says that God comforts so that we can comfort others. God comforts us so that we can actually comfort others. And we go through suffering just like Jesus. So too, we go through comfort just like Jesus. We're always amazed and humbled, and we look and see Jesus accomplish the things that he accomplished. And he tells us exactly how he does it. He says, I completely trust the Father. Completely. Not on some days. Not halfway. He says, I completely trust the Father. The Father has not left me. The Father has not abandoned me. The Father is with me. And so I can accomplish what the Father has sent me to do. Church, that is the faith that you and I must have. That is the faith that you and I must carry with us into this world this week. It's not enough that we are comforted so that, oh, whew, we made it through. It's not enough that, okay, good, God got us through that thing that we were praying for. What's next? Because there's always going to be something that is next. There's always going to be something that you and I are going to be going through. There's always going to be something that you and I have experienced. Church, we cannot wait until He just gives us a nice, easy, peaceful, restful day to look out for the needs of others. Because if you'll notice, like I have, number one, there's not a whole bunch of those nice, easy, peaceful days where nothing else is going on. And number two, when we finally get one, our first thought is not other people. It's, oh, God gave me rest, right? So I must rest. Through all His life and His ministry and His service, even to us now, as He constantly serves as our high priest, Jesus shows us that the comfort that we experience is so that we can offer comfort to others. Well, that's pretty good news, because we've suffered with Jesus, haven't we? We've suffered. We've experienced things in life that hurt. We've experienced things in life that frustrate. But He says in verse 6, your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. God is so good that He doesn't wait till all of our problems are away before we can feel comfort. He doesn't say, hey, I'm going to fix all your problems. And then on that day, you can be at peace. When I fix everything in your life and make everything easy, then you will know my comfort. No, no, no. God's bigger than that. He says, while you're suffering, you endure patiently, you will experience the comfort of God. That is, don't give up. Don't give up. When we cry out to Him, when we cry out to others, and we say, I'm frustrated, I'm in pain, I'm suffering, I'm scared, I'm angry, I'm stressed. It's just so much. God says, endure patiently. Well, I'm enduring, I'm still here. So fix this. Endure patiently. That's the kicker, isn't it? Yeah, we endure. We're pretty tough, aren't we? I mean, whatever it is you and I have been through, it hadn't got us yet, right? We're still sitting here drawing breath this morning. For the most part, we're able to still get ourselves out of bed and keep moving forward. But He says, patiently endure. Patiently endure. Isn't enough that I endure? Isn't enough that I just survive? It's not. It's not enough, church, that we just survive. What He has called us to is to endure with patience, trusting Him. Trusting Him. What can possibly be big enough to be bigger than all of our problems? What can possibly be more powerful than our hassles and our pain and our struggles and our frustrations? What can possibly be bigger than what you and I experience in our lives? God has delivered us, and He will continue to do so. God comforts us in our afflictions. If you hadn't underlined it, I'd go to verse 9. Because all of this that we go through, all of this that we experience, all that we suffer, it has a purpose. It has a holy purpose. It's not just to give you thick skin. That's not it. That's not it. God doesn't allow us to experience everything we experience or to suffer everything we suffer just so that we'll be stronger for the next one. No, no, no. To make us, in verse 9, rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises from the dead. God allows us to experience everything we experience so that we will trust Him. So that we will rely upon Him. So that our lives will be examples of holy patience and strength. Patience in Him, strength, His strength, not ours. Because our strength fails, does it not? I mean, you and I have hit the wall, haven't we? You and I have run into something in life that just knocked us down, something more strong than us. But when we patiently endure, when we learn to rely not upon ourselves, but from God, knowing that God's strength is enough to raise from the dead, God's not just given us, God has not just given us enough strength to get through the day. God gives us the same strength by which He raised Jesus from the grave. And He's put His strength within us so we can endure, we can trust, we can hope. And whatever is in our path, it's not too much for God. It may be too much for us, but it's not too much for God. So what do we do? In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus told a story for all of His disciples. And the point He was trying to get across is that they, all of us, should always pray and never give up. Don't give up. Do not give up, but instead pray. Pray. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Verse 1, He says, He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Then He tells this story. He said there's this little old lady that didn't have anybody else on her side, and so she goes to the judge and she cries out for justice. And in Jesus' story, this judge is not a particularly good person. He's not doing this out of the goodness of his heart. He honestly grants her wishes because he's tired of putting up with her. He says, if I don't do what this lady asks, she is going to wear me out. She's going to wear me out. So He gives her what she needs. And then Jesus makes this correlation. He says, look, you pray to the Father, and God is not sitting up there going, oh no, it's them again. Oh, here we go again. They're still asking. They're still on their knees praying. God doesn't look at us like that. God's not like this unrighteous judge. God is like the loving, caring Father who adores us, who dotes on us, who takes care of us. He looks down on us and said, hey, a thankful one. A thankful one. That's right. You remember how many lepers Jesus healed in that one story? And how many came back? One. Oh, look, a thankful one. Are we praying like that thankful leper? Are we praying like that one out of so many that gets it and understands it and comes back to God with thanksgiving for all things, that trusts God in faith and hope for all things? Paul said back in Corinthians that we read, he said, that's when we'll receive comfort. That's when we'll receive comfort, when we trust God continually. You know, this week here at Sunrise, and I'm sure you're aware of most of them, so I'm not making announcements. I'm just sharing facts. So many people needed prayers this week. And we had stress. We had medical issues, health issues, accidents. I mean, so many people around us are in difficult situations and going through tough things. But at the same time, you know what God gave us this week? An inch of rain. Church, that's not nothing. We've had nothing for a long time. And He blessed us with an inch of rain this week. That's kind of a big deal. That's kind of a big deal. I saw this week we're coming to the end of a lot of our schooling. Stage is about to graduate high school. I saw a picture of Ethan in his suit last night. If you didn't see that one, ask Aaron to show it to you. Eighth grade graduation. He looked like a senior, but it was eighth grade graduation, wasn't it? Eighth grade banquet. Sorry, not graduation. But we're coming to the end. We're coming to the end of a good chapter. End of a good chapter. We're still hitting milestones. Our kids are still, you know, having more birthdays. Our kids are still moving forward in ways that we hope. And in ways that we're trying to guide them. And good stuff's still happening around us. Maybe harder to see, right? Because there's so much other stuff. But again, what are we looking for? Are we looking for God's glory and God's blessing? Or are we just noticing, like everybody around us, all the negative things that are happening? I mean, I could get a newspaper and read it for you. Would that help? No, uh-uh. Because you read that every day, all week long, don't you? Yeah. We come here together and we want some good news, don't we? Yeah, give us some good news. Because tomorrow I'm going to pick up the headlines on my phone. In fact, I won't even have to wait till tomorrow because I'm pretty sure between here and wherever I eat lunch today, I'm going to see the price of gas. And I'm going to demand to talk to the manager. Instead of dropping to my knees and saying, God, I'm going to need you to take care of this today. And instead of crying out, God, I don't know how we're going to do this. Hey, good news. We aren't going to do anything. We get to pray, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I can't wait to see. That's how we pray. That's how we pray. God has gotten us this far, and God is strong enough to get us all the way to the end. Jesus is in that garden, and even those closest to him didn't know what to do. I mean, do we fight? Do we flee? Well, they ended up doing both. They're going to stand up and fight for him. And Jesus says, no, 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 we're not going to do it like that. Okay, well, we don't have much else. So they just run away. They just run away. Jesus calls us to something else. He calls us to something else. He calls us not to fight against them. No. No, there's enough fighting going on. And he doesn't call us just to run away from all the bad things in the world going on around us and just flee. He calls us to engage with love. He calls us to step in to the troubles around us and bring mercy. Jesus' way is pretty tough, isn't it? Sometimes is. Sometimes is. But that's why every day we need to be praying for more faith. Church, I want you to hear me this morning. God is the author of our lives. God is the author of our lives. We need to hold on because, number one, he wrote the ending and he knows how it's all going to turn out. And you and I also know if the book's not very exciting, you're not going to stick with it, are you? No, you're going to put it down. If life was boring, you'd get tired of it anyway. So since God writes the story of our lives, how about we trust him with the ending? And if we trust him with the ending, then we can hang on through the whole ride. We can hang on to every chapter. We can hang on to those celebrations and those happy days and those easy days. And we can hang on to those dark days and to those difficult chapters. Because daylight is coming. Kevin read for us in Psalm 16. And I wanted us to take a look at two things. Psalm 16 verse 8. Here is a promise of strength. Psalm 16:8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. I have set the Lord always before me. Now, church, sometimes we're shaken. You know why? Because we set the Lord way too far out there. But we cannot be shaken when we set the Lord right here. Right here. Well, I got this I got to deal with. Yes, but I have set the Lord right here. So I'll be able to take care of that. Because God is right here. I have set the Lord right here, so I'm not going to be shaken. Yeah, but did you hear the news today? Really? What's going on? Well, I'm pretty sure it's going to be bad. There you go. I just took care of it. You don't have to read a newspaper this week. Took care of it for you. It's going to be bad. There you go. But guess what? You're not going to be shaken if the Lord is right there. You can't read the newspaper right here with God way over there. You know what happens? You start to shake. You can't go through difficulties of life with God way over there. Why? What happens? Whoa. You start to shake. David had to figure it out. I have set the Lord right here, so I can't be shaken. So this week, you make sure that the Lord is right there. Not second, not third, not an afterthought. No, not a, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I could have handled that better. But a, yeah, I can't help but do anything else because he is right there. That's how you're going to stand strong. And then he gives us this promise in verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. You show me how to live. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In God's presence there is fullness of joy. In God's presence there is fullness of joy. When you set him right here, when you are in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Not a, boy, if I could just get 5 minutes to myself, maybe I could just calm down today. Or you know what? If I could just stop having life happen, that I got to put out that fire, and I got to put out that fire, and I got to worry about this, and I got to take care of this. Then maybe I'll have some time or even energy to think about joy. Nope. He's right there. He's by your side, and in his presence, joy is complete. You can be joyful while things are falling apart. You can be filled with joy before things turn out to be resolved. Church, that is the Christian life. We are waiting for the perfect. We are waiting for the day when Jesus comes back, when he opens everybody's eyes and all the problems are gone. But until that day, God has blessed us with his very own presence right here so that we can just enjoy joy. What a gift. What a gift. So, here's what we ask ourselves. What's bigger in your life? What's bigger in your life? Is it God or your problems? What's bigger in your life? Is it God or your worries? What's bigger in your life? Is it God or is it the news? The direction of the country? What's bigger in your life? Walking with Jesus? Enjoying the benefits of having his presence right next to you? Or everything else? What a difference Jesus makes, right? What a difference Jesus makes. Walk every day with God. We will find comfort and we will share comfort. And it's all in his presence. It hurts sometimes, doesn't it? Because we got to kick ourselves every once in a while for the suffering that we go through. That we realize we shouldn't. We shouldn't have to. We shouldn't have to. I mean, I'm not talking about escaping bad things. We've all got a list. We've all got a resume. We've all got things that we have survived through. But praise be to God, that's not a list of complaints. That's a track record for a successful and victorious God. That's what that is. The things that God has seen you through, that's his wins. It's not your losses. That is his victory in your life. That is his mercy flowing out over your head like oil. He's anointing you each and every day. He lets you get up. He lets you walk and he lets you love and serve and forgive. Put ears back on. Bring peace to difficult situations, to shine light. That's what the mercy of God does for Jesus and for all who dare follow him. That's good news. That's good news. I'm going to close it out. I'm going to go back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4:7 says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So that death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that his grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we don't lose heart. Even though our outer man, our outer self, is wasting away, our inner self, our souls, are being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are seen are unseen are eternal. Church, we're going to go out from here this week. We're going to go out from here today. We're going to go out and we are going to live this week, and we are not going to forget, because we're going to keep God right here. We are not going to be thrown off track. We are not going to lose our faith or fall apart when things happen to us, because God is right here. He is what's real. He is what's real. And when you are tempted, because all of this, church, look, all of this is just the enemy just sitting there just trying to shake at your foundation. That's all it is. The enemy's trying to shake at your foundation. And if your foundation is built on the rock, guess what? You're going to stand. You're going to be fine. If your foundation is built on something else, guess what? It's going to feel like something else. It's not going to feel like a rock. The enemy is testing your foundation. He's testing all of our foundation. Be sure of what you stand on. And if it's been a bumpy ride, you better make sure you're standing on the right thing. It's not your strength, it's his strength. It's not your power, it's his power. And it's not whether you will win or not today, church. You have won. The victory is already given to yours. Just remember what is temporary and what is eternal. You know what's temporary? This light, momentary affliction. You got a problem tomorrow? You got a problem today. Guess what? It's light and it's temporary. This is really not fun. Well, the good news is it's light and it won't last forever. And it is not even worth mentioning compared to what? What is heavy, what has substance, and what is eternal. And that is the glorious gifts that God has prepared for us in his presence for all eternity. Do not let go of your faith. Do not be shaken from the foundation that he has given to you, then that is his only son, Jesus Christ. Stand on the rock. And if we stand on the rock, If we walk and love as Jesus walks and loved, then He is going to comfort us through every situation, and He's actually going to allow us to open our eyes to be a comfort to those around us. Because church, here's something amazing. I don't know when the last time hopefully this is right in front of your nose. You may not have thought about it in a while. There are other people around us that we come in contact with every day. And I think it's safe to say, pitiful souls. They don't have a rock to stand on. So are we going to let people who are still in the dark determine how those of us in the light are going to think, act, speak, or live? Or are we going to overflow with such light and love and life? You know that joy thing? Are we going to be so filled with joy that maybe they become interested in where we're standing? Are we going to win this week? We are. We're going to win this week because He's already given us the victory. We have that victory in Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian this morning and you need that victory, then it's time. And if you are in Jesus Christ and you have that victory, church, you have the victory. Quit letting the enemy rattle your cage, because that's all he can do is rattle your cage. It's all he can do is make a little noise. But church, you were with me this morning. We made a joyful noise. That's not a little noise. That's thunderous. Live your life the same way. Let's do that. If you need to respond this morning, we're here to help. More importantly, He's here. And Tuesday, Wednesday, when you still need Him, He's still there. Keep Him right there. Keep Him right there, and you will not be shaken.